primarily, I just dive right into Scripture, but this time we're going to do a blend, and we're going to be doing a blend in this particular series on preparing for the latter rain. And so I'm going to be using quotations from other books, Spirit of Prophecy, that will give commentary to the Scripture just to kind of help flesh things out. So with that, what I'd like to do is begin with a word of prayer, and I'm going to once again, you know, we've been kneeling quite a bit. If you feel tired, if you're unable to, please remain seated. But we are coming before the throne of grace. And brothers and sisters, we need to hear this message today. We need to hear it. So if you'll join me, please let us kneel once more. And I will give you a time to pray silently for me as well as yourselves. Father in heaven, great God, Creator of heaven and earth, Redeemer, Savior, and Friend. We come before you this day, Lord, broken, sinners in need of a Savior. So thankful for the blood that you shed to save us, for the incredible risk you took, Father, in coming to this world to be our sacrifice, our substitute. Lord, everything in Scripture that we have read has really indicates that time has gone on longer than it should have. This whole experiment with sin, the suffering in this planet should have ended by now, but it hasn't. And it's not because you're not ready, Father. It's because we're not. Your church, you gave it a mission to spread this gospel to all the world so everybody has a chance to make a choice. And we have not carried out that mission yet. And so, Lord, we know that it can't happen without the outpouring of your Spirit. And so, Lord, today's subject is about that. Father, I know that the people in this room here today are here not by accident, and not by coincidence, but by divine appointment. And so I pray, Father, that you will send your angels in force to present around us truly a ring of fire of protection, that the evil one will not be permitted entrance to annoy or to distract us. Father, we are asking for the righteousness of Jesus to cover us because we know there is no other righteousness that you will accept. So, Father, that you will be able to come into this room and be our teacher. Lord, I pray that I will not in any way interfere or get in the way of what you're wanting to do with each soul here today. Hide the speaker behind the cross, that Jesus be glorified, magnified, and seen. Now, Lord, we lay this before you. In this humble language, I pray that each one will hear what they need to hear now. And I thank you. Thank you, Father, for hearing us and for answering in accordance to your great love and mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin with a quote that does not appear in your handout. I hope you take out your pencils today because I'll be referencing some things along the way, and this is the first one. This quote comes from Volume 2 Testimony, page 445. And I want us to listen carefully to this quote, okay? The context is that she's talking about us. Our denomination. You with me? I have tried in the fear of God to set before His people their danger and their sins, and have endeavored to the best of my feeble powers to arouse them. I have stated startling things which, if they had believed, would have caused them distress and terror and led them to zeal and repenting of their sins and iniquities. I have stated before them that from what was shown me, but a small number of those now professing to believe the truth would eventually be saved. Not because they couldn't be saved, but because they would not be saved in God's own appointed way. But few would be saved in the end. You know, I'm sure that this quote isn't too unfamiliar to a number of you here. We have a tendency, perhaps, of hearing quotes like this and think that it refers to churches in California. or perhaps churches in Australia. But it's all of us. We have to realize this is speaking to me, or there's no sense in giving the warning. She says here, warnings if they had been believed. I can't help but think of the tragedy of the Titanic. The tragedy of the Titanic is really worth studying, because it is a play out of the last days. You know, when the ship hit the iceberg, I don't know if I shared this last time, but when the ship hit the iceberg and the news began to go out that the ship was sinking, the people did not believe it. They didn't believe it. And those lifeboats had to be lowered quickly, because if the ship went into an angle, a pitch, they wouldn't be able to release them. And they began crying out to people to get onto the boat. Brothers and sisters, the vast majority of those boats left, they were not at maximum capacity. And by the time it became evident to everyone that the ship was in fact sinking, by the time they had the evidence before them, it was too late. We have been given messages and warnings. I submit to you, I'm going to share something here. I submit to you that the probation of the Adventist Church will close before the probation of the world. For the simple fact, we have the data. They don't. And so God is giving the rest of the world time to receive the data, so that they can make an intelligent decision. But we have it. What are we doing with it? We are running the risk of being lost over complacency. I'm just pouring it out from my heart. This message refers to me as much as it does anybody in the pew. So what I'm going to do, I want to talk about the subject, preparing for the latter rain. I want to give a little background, because we have visitors here, and what I share here, you may feel like you're trying to take a drink out of a fire hydrant, and I apologize. We're going to cover a lot of data here, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to bring you up to speed, to stay with us. But Bible students who have spent time studying this recognize that the term latter rain is often used to symbolize the final and mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will take place just before the second coming. What I'm sharing with you is not in your notes yet. But Bible students know that the latter rain is a symbol used for the final and mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will take place just prior to the second coming. To understand the symbolism, one needs to understand the climate of the land of Israel. In Israel, rain played a major role in Israelite agricultural society. In Israel, the first rain of the rainy season was known as the early rain, which usually started in mid-October and went through early November. This rain was sent to soften the ground and helped in the germination of the seed and the growth of the crops. So it was that rain that allowed the seed to shoot down its root and begin the growing process. The latter rain, however, before the harvest, came in early March to April, and this was a heavier rain which aided in that crop coming to maturity for harvest. We find in the Bible that rain took on a spiritual meaning when used in describing the work of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God described the future restoration of His people Israel using the language of rain to illustrate the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, you don't have to turn there, you can reference it. But an example, Isaiah 44 verse 3, it says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Now, in the book of Joel, after announcing the coming of the early and latter rains, God adds this. In the book of Joel, you remember, is an end time prophecy. And he writes, the prophet Joel writes, "I will pour out," this is Joel 2, 28 and 29, if you need a reference, Joel 2, 28 and 29. "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. On your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Right? Where that's telling us we're going to be seeing supernatural events at the end. By the way, both sides will be involved in that. In the Bible, the image of the early and the latter rain is applied to two different powerful events by the Holy Spirit within the church. The first, the early rain, took place at Pentecost. Very good. The other event points to the event that will take place just before the second coming. The work of the Spirit described by the prophet Joel was partially fulfilled during the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost, which was typified by the early rain. And brothers and sisters, don't miss the fact that the Spirit was poured out for the purpose of witnessing. And in one generation, by the way, in the early church managed to take the gospel to throughout the known world. 12 uneducated guys without technology. Don't let that miss you. This idea of how in the world we're going to reach the world, the problem is we're looking to our own resources, we're not looking to God's. In the same prophecy, refers to the great and glorious day of the Lord, telling us that a fuller manifestation of the Spirit is to be expected at the end. Here we find that the future work of the Holy Spirit will give power to the giving of the last message of judgment and salvation that will ever be given to the human race, the three angels' message found in Revelation 14. It is this event that Revelation 18 points us to. And if you recall, in Revelation 18, we find a fourth angel descending from heaven with great authority, illuminating the earth with his glory and adding power to the worldwide proclamation of the three angels' message revealed in Revelation 14. This manifestation of the Spirit symbolizes the final outpouring, which we call the latter rain. So here we find that the phrase early and latter rain are agricultural images figuratively applied to the work of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of the Christian dispensation and at its end. Now, let's get into our lesson. The Holy Spirit like rain. Hosea 6:3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like what? Like rain, like the latter and the former, or early, rain to the earth. Review and Herald, 1897. The Lord employs these operations of nature to represent the work of the Holy Spirit. As the dew and the rain are given first to cause the seed to germinate and then to ripen the harvest, so the Holy Spirit is given to carry forward from one stage to another the process of spiritual what? That's the work of the early rain. The ripening of the grain represents the completion of the work of God's grace in the soul. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. Now, I want to stress this one part right here. That's that last two sentences. Or better, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the moral image of God is to be perfected in the character. We are to be wholly transformed into the likeness of Christ. Brothers and sisters, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they lost the image of God. The character of God was lost, and Adam and Eve became selfish, self-centered, just like the rest of us. At birth, we are born with a fallen nature. We have a natural disposition to look out for number one. Jesus Christ does not operate that way. And so... the plan of salvation is to restore this image that the character of Jesus will shine out of our lives. Brothers and sisters, when the church becomes like the world, it loses its witnessing power. The world, the people of the world that do not have God are not dumb. If the church is like them, we have nothing to offer them. And they know it. The church has to be different. It's got to be like God. It's got to be different because this world has been taken over by the devil. We don't want to be like the... I am so thankful for what God has led me out of. I am just so thankful. I bear witness there is power in the gospel. to transform us. And so God, the plan of salvation is to restore this image. You know, to be loving and kind, to be gentle and respectful, to be obedient to God and loyal to Him above any earthly power. Keep that in mind. The plan of salvation is to restore that image in me. Section 2, the work of the early and latter rain. We need to understand what this is. Acts 3, verse 19, the words of Peter, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Right here, he's explaining, Peter is, the work of the Holy Spirit. The early rain is for the change. Repent therefore and be what? Converted. That's a transformation, a change in the life. Why? In preparation for what? That your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come. So the times of refreshing coming is dependent on us being converted. The work of the early rain, testimonies to ministers, 507-509. At no point in our experience can we dispense with the assistance of that which enables us to make the first start. The blessings received under the former rain, that's the early, are needful unto when? The end. As we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting what? Did you catch it? The early rain working in us the character of Jesus, meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God, but that prepares us to receive the latter. Now, I don't think you heard me. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. I hear a lot of people praying for the latter rain, and I don't hear them praying for the early. If the latter rain falls and I haven't received the early, I'm done. You know, let's switch this to gardening. If I lived in Israel and it was October season, I know the early rains are coming, I put down my seed. Think spiritually. I put down the seed. And when the rain falls, it allows it to take root and it begins to grow. If I wait, instead of putting my seed down in during the time of the early rain, and I put it during the latter rain, when the heavy rains fall, and I put the seed down then, what's going to happen to the seed? It's going to get washed away. God is using that as an illustration for Israel to get this. And it's an illustration for you and I so that we can get this. What I'm trying to say is that we are living under the dispensation of the early rain right now. The latter rain that began to fall at Pentecost is still falling. And we need to be receiving it. What does that mean? That I need to not be impatient with my wife. That I need to respect my husband. That I need to be kind to my children. If the gospel isn't working in my house, I don't have it. And if it's working there, it will work everywhere. Now is the time that we go to our spouses and our children and we apologize to them for not reflecting Jesus. When we blow it, to go back and acknowledge it. That's what humility is, by the way. It is about character development, and we need to take this in serious. We need to be earnest, because we're running out of time. The probation of the church closes first. There is a crisis gathering. We can see the clouds gathering. When that bursts upon us, that's not the time to check the tank to see where we are. We need to be walking with Jesus every day. The work of the latter rain, let's take a look at it. Review and Herald, 1897. The latter rain, ripening earth's harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. But unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not spring up. Unless the early showers have done their work, the latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. Let me just lay it out there. The latter rain is not for character development. The only thing we take with us when the Lord returns is our character and those who we have reached for Him. That's it. The latter rain and the second coming, God's not going to transform us. He's giving that time now. Right now is our probationary period. Right now we're showing whether or not we really do love God. You know, and I'll be honest with you. As I've been thinking about this, I realize I don't think enough about God. He's not enough in my mind. I'm too busy trying to put out fires. I'm too busy worrying about this or that or the other, or just trying to survive day to day. Am I the only one? Brothers and sisters, we need to spend more time with God. We need to. The next quote. Supplement to the Christian Experience and Views of Ellen White, 1854. At that time, while the work of salvation is closing, trouble will be coming on the earth and the nations will be angry, yet held in check so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. At that time, the latter rain of refreshing from the presence of the Lord will come. Why? To give power to the loud voice of the third angel and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues will be poured out. There's two things brought out here that the latter rain does. Number one, it is to empower the church for witnessing. Now, please hear me. If we're not witnessing now, we're not going to see the latter rain when it comes. You and I were saved to be missionaries. Can you imagine being on the Titanic and the ship is sinking and nobody put the word out and the crew got into the boat, into the lifeboats and took off? What would you have thought of that? The church has been given a message to tell the world that God found an answer to the sin problem. He has an answer. How can we keep that to ourselves? Now, I'm like you. I'm kind of an introvert. I mean, you know, Sarah, I don't know if she's ever met a stranger, but I'm not wired that way. But in our own way, we can still share. And we need to. There are people out there that are counting on us doing that. I do want to bring something out here that I find rather interesting. She says, at that time, while salvation is what? Closing. Trouble will be coming upon the earth and the nations will be angry. I want to ask you a question. Is trouble coming upon our earth? Are the nations angry? What does that tell me about salvation? You know, it's really interesting, in studying Adventist history, I shared with you, I had the privilege of teaching Adventist history at Wachita Hills College there in Arkansas. And I was really fascinated by the incident of 1888. Spent a lot of time studying it. And in 1888, God visited the Adventist church with a message. Well, the church had been visited with the message of righteousness by faith, but lost it. It got really busy doing God's work and forgot the God of the work. And started doing it in its own power instead of doing it in His power. And so God raised up some men, Jones and Wagner, to reintroduce that message into the denomination. And as that message of righteousness by faith, what does that mean? That it's not my righteousness, it's His. That God, the only righteousness that God will accept is His righteousness. It's not my righteousness. He will not. I will never be good enough. I accept His goodness to transform my life. And when my life is changed, I have nothing to brag about. It's Him working His will in my life. And so anyway, when the church began to get a hold of that, and things, it was very interesting. Let me share with you just real quick, two things that began to take place. Did you know, do a little research, that the economy of the United States began to tank? Very interesting. Something else interesting during this time period is that the Sunday laws began to increase. The world was ready for the final message. There were no visas. There were no passports. The borders were all open. There was no communism. And what happened instead is that the church lost its focus and slipped into Laodicea. And what happened? The Sunday law issues went quiet. The economy got better. And communism came. And now you need visas and passports to go anywhere. The devil is doing his best to block this message from getting out. But God will not be thwarted. But here's my point. All of a sudden, the economy is going bad again. Are we listening? And if you do some research out there, you're going to find the world right now is embracing Sunday laws again. Brothers and sisters, we are heading to Canaan. If we do not wake up now, when we finally do, it will be too late. Are we listening? Number three, the last generation must experience both. Testimonies of Ministers 508. If we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and the latter rain, we shall lose our own souls and the responsibility will lay at our own door. We'll have no one to blame. We have decisions, you and I have decisions to make. Brothers and sisters, we are very distracted. There are things right now in our life that we're going, it's not that bad. Am I right? We need to place ourselves on higher ground. We need to surround ourselves as much as we can with a spiritual atmosphere that our thoughts be directed heavenward. Because it is by beholding we become changed. Brothers and sisters, what are we beholding? Early writings, 72. I saw that none could share the refreshing, watch this, unless they obtained the victory over every besetment, over pride, selfishness, love of the world, and over every wrong word and action. That means in our home, brothers and sisters. We should therefore be drawing nearer and nearer to who? There's your solution. And be earnestly seeking the preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. Let all remember that God is holy and that none but holy beings can ever dwell in His presence. Lindsay, I appreciate the song you sang. I don't know where you're sitting. There you are. I appreciate that. I sat there going, man, how appropriate is that for our series? God is holy. And we got to realize that you and I aren't. And we need to be transformed. And guess what? You can't do it. And neither can I. But God is ready, willing, and able. But we have to place ourselves where He can do the job. And it begins by admitting we need help. Number four. So what is the holdup? What are we waiting for? Review and Herald 1887. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. By the way, anytime reading this author, you will notice that this author never fools around with her words. She is very, very, very careful about her usage of words. And you'll also notice that this author does not exaggerate. She classified exaggeration as lying. With that understanding, this first sentence is loaded. A revival. She's talking to the church. She's talking to us. A revival of true godliness among us is the what? No exaggeration. And the most what? Of how many of our needs? This is number one right here. To seek this should be our what work? There must be what kind of effort? To obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow His blessing upon us, but because we're distracted. We're unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work. Now, what is our work? Watch this. By confession. Brothers and sisters, there are things we're doing that we ought not be doing. There are things we're watching we ought not be watching. There are things we're listening to we ought not, and we know it. When we're in line at the grocery store and something whispers in our head, don't look at that magazine, we got to listen to that voice. But it is our work by confession, by humiliation. What is it? By the way, humiliation, humility means what? It's recognizing God's right and I'm wrong and I go His way. By repentance and by earnest prayer to fulfill the condition upon which God has promised to grant us His blessing, a revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. Brothers and sisters, are we praying? And if we're not, what can we expect is going to be the end result of that? We have decisions we've got to make. There are no games here. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know, on the way home, if I won't get hit by a bus, and that's it for me. Today is the day that I have. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit and seeking for this preparation. The question is, what are we waiting for? If we wait for a Sunday law or something to finally wake us up, we're going to discover that that isn't the beginning of the end. That's the end of the end. Now is the day of salvation. It is now that we need to be seeking God and drawing closer to Him. I wonder what would happen if we spent the amount of time we spent on Facebook, if we spent that in God's Word. What would we be like today? If we spent the hours that we spent on watching sports or in the news, if we spent in God's Word, what would we be like today? You know, if you're like me, spiritual things don't come naturally. I often hear people say to me, "Pastor Baute, it just doesn't work for me. I just don't get into it. I don't want to do it." And having devotions in the morning, and I say to them, "I'm curious, but when you went to work this morning, did you feel like doing it? Yet you went." Just apply that to your study of the Word. Apply that principle. Why'd you go to work? Because you knew you had to. Brothers and sisters, for the sake of our salvation, we better get into God's Word. Because we have to. And God will bless as we do that. And by the way, God is real. So as you go to pray to Him, be honest with Him and say, "Lord, this really isn't doing anything for me, but I give You permission to work in my life and make this work." And by the way, I have prayed that. And I would venture to guess that everyone else who's had a devotional life has this well. That's how we all begin. We need to begin praying, even if it's through our teeth, even if we don't mean it, pray it. We must. Number five, we should pray earnestly for the descent of the Holy Spirit. Review and Herald, 1895. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church is looked forward to as in the future, but it is the privilege of the church to have it. Seek for it. Pray for it. Believe for it. We must have it. And heaven is... You know, it's amazing to me how often we talk about we're waiting on God for the second coming. No. God is waiting on us. He gave us a mission to spread this gospel to the planet. Everybody has a right to make a decision, to have the choice to go to heaven. We went to Cuba, as many of you know, in spring. And 95 people, as a result of our being there, made a decision for Jesus Christ. 95. We're looking forward to seeing them again on the streets of gold one day. But friends, you have neighbors. We all do. You think God placed you there because that was a good deal on the house? God placed you there because there are people in your neighborhood He knows will respond to your witness. "Pastor, I don't know what to do." Well, I don't know what to tell you, so maybe go to the Lord. He has the plan. Ask Him. You know, there's a little program called Project Steps to Christ. And you can just give them your neighborhood. And they'll send out, they'll blanket mail the Steps to Christ, how to have a relationship with Jesus, everybody in your neighborhood. Project Steps to Christ. I'm not seeing you writing. Project, just your neighborhood. They'll send out great controversies. But God placed us there, not because it was a good deal on a house, because there are people there that will respond to us. We have a responsibility. What are we waiting for? Number six, what is the evidence of the Spirit's work in the life? Review and Herald, 1902. A revival and reformation must take place under the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Revival and reformation are what? They're two different things. Revival signifies a renewal of spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of mind and heart, a resurrection of spiritual death from spiritual death. Reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in ideas and theories, habits and practices. Reformation will not bring forth good fruit of righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. Revival and reformation are to do their appointed work, and in doing this work, they must blend. So revival is what? Is the aha moment. Oh, I didn't know that. By the way, that's an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. When you get it, it's because the Lord gave it. And so that's revival. That's, oh man, this has got to change in my life. But it can't stop there. That must be followed with reformation. We cry out to God, confessing our sin and asking for His power for a transformed life. Are you with me? There has to be both. Otherwise, if we have the revival and it's not followed by reformation, our condition will deepen. And for God to wake us up now, He has to use extreme measures. And you see that played out in the life of Israel. Every time they had apostasy, it was followed by a revival, and it ended in a deeper apostasy. We have to respond and keep responding. So now let's take a look. How is the early rain brought about, work brought about in the life? Is that where I am? Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who... That's the key. We need to ask. And there's a place for corporate asking. But that corporate asking isn't going to meet much if it's not happening individually. It's an individual work. Review and Herald, 1887. We must enter upon this work how? Individually. We must pray what? And talk less. Iniquity abounds. And the people must be taught not to be satisfied with a form of godliness without spirit and power. Okay, I need to elaborate on this one. There is a danger. God has raised up this denomination and has given it the truths that are critical for this last days. And there is a danger of thinking because we have the head knowledge, we're in. We have to remember, you know, God is putting the Sabbath back on the map because it's been forgotten by the world. That's why He began it by saying, remember. He put the Sabbath on the map. He gave us health laws because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if our bodies are messed up, our thinking's going to be messed up. And so He wants a healthy body, a healthy mind. We can hear the Holy Spirit better. So He gave us health laws. And then He helped the finances work by tithing. And we have to remember that in the early church, in the nation of Israel, when Christ was here, they had the Sabbath, they had the health laws, and they had the tithing system, and they crucified the Lord of glory. It is possible to have the truth and the truth not have us. It is possible. And I submit to you that if we don't cry out for an experience with Jesus, this denomination will repeat that mistake. Or members of it will. That we know this denomination is going to because God's going to see it through. But it doesn't mean everybody's going to be in it when it goes through. Brothers and sisters, I am just being brutally honest. We have got to wrestle with this. We have got to because time's running out. We are approaching the crisis of the ages. There is an intensity gripping this world. And we all talk about it. Oh yeah, we must be near the end. Brothers and sisters, when this thing breaks out, it's going to reveal whether or not we've been preparing. Number 8, what is the goal of Jesus through the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5:25, that He might present to her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be what? And without what? Without blemish. Brothers and sisters, we talked already that the goal of the plan of salvation is to restore in humanity the lost image of God. And that image was in perfect harmony with God's law of love, the Ten Commandments. The law is... I remember as a kid saying... I remember I said to myself one day, I was talking to Daniel McClellan. Some of you know Dan. And I said to him, boy, the law is a drudgery. And he was a wise grandfather. He turned me aside. He says, George, really? I said, yes. And he said, which one? Is it the one that says, thou shalt not kill? George, is there somebody you're wanting to kill? Is that why the law is a burden to you? Yeah, or is it the one that says, don't commit adultery? Is there something we need to talk about, George? Is it the one that says, thou shalt not steal? Is there something you want to take from somebody, George? And when he went through the thing, I began to realize I had just been repeating what other people had said. The law is love. The law is love. And when Jesus is reproduced in the life, our life will be in harmony with that law. Now listen, there are pastors today saying that you're going to be saved sinning. That is a lie. Sin is rebellion against God. The angels of heaven were kicked out for rebelling. Nobody is going in that way. And so God has provided the Holy Spirit to do for us what you and I cannot do for ourselves, to give us a new heart and a new mind, and to transform us, to bring us to hate what we used to love and to love what we used to hate. Chuck, it works, doesn't it? I bear witness it does. Let's look at how God does this. Number 9, how does Jesus through the Holy Spirit accomplish this in us? 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You remember when Moses went up into the mountain to talk with God? And when he came down to meet with the people, what did the people do? They scattered because his face radiated. And brothers and sisters, the same will happen with you and me. As we spend time with God, imperceptibly, the Holy Spirit will begin that work in our hearts of changing us. He will change us. Seeing what God has done already in my past gives me hope and confidence that He will finish the work He's begun in my life. He will do it. So now, if you're the devil, what's your strategy? Distract them. Don't let them spend time thinking about Jesus. Give them so much work that they don't feel that they have time to spend with God in devotions in the morning. So entertain their minds with the latest sporting event or the latest fashion event or the latest whatever event, just so long as we don't spend time with Jesus, and in the end, He wins. And worse still, have them go to church in their carnal state. I will use them as decoys. The youth will see those guys and the youth will say, if heaven's like that, I'm not interested. And then the neighbors will look at those same individuals and say, hey, there's no difference between them and me. He kicks his dog just like I kick mine. I hear the way he talks to his wife. That's the way I talk to mine. He doesn't have anything I need. The devil, the power is found in the presence of God. You can't change yourself, neither can I. You know, I'm so thankful. There have been times I've had sin in my life I didn't want to give up. But I knew I can go to God and say, Lord, I don't want to give it up, and I know You want me to. Will You please change the desires in my life? I give You permission to do whatever You need to do to change me. And that's a prayer God is waiting for us to ask. Number 10. The end result of this work will be a life that reflects the life of our dear Savior, Ezekiel 36, 25 and 27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is God speaking. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from how much of your filth? All of it. And from how many of our idols? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you, I love that, cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and you will do them. This is the new covenant, and this is what God was offering Israel. And Israel instead stuck to their own legalistic religion. They didn't need God. They were living their spotless lives apart from Him. Thank you very much. And so God had to turn to the Gentiles with the gospel. But this same warning comes to you and I today. We got to go to God for this experience. I mean, we all have sense enough to know if our car is having trouble, we take it to the mechanic and we leave the car there until he can finish the job on it. We don't just drive through the guy's parking lot and say, that guy's a terrible mechanic, my car still has problems. If we want to be transformed, we got to come into the presence of God, and we have got to stay there. Hebrews 10, 15, 16, and 22. And this is Paul now using different wording to describe the same thing, the new covenant experience. Hebrews 10, 15, 16, and 22. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Isn't that beautiful? We will be in harmony with God's law. Philippians 2:13. For it is who? Who works in who? In you and me. Both to will, that's desire, and to do, that's performance of His good pleasure. Brothers and sisters, if we want to transform life, God has already promised it for us if we'll just go to Him. He'll change our attitude and He'll give us the power to obey. And by the way, I want to repeat this again. Once you find yourself doing the right thing for the right motives, do not take credit for it. There is nothing good in us except that which He puts in us. And so we lay all the accolades at the feet of Jesus. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Friends, when we ask Jesus into our hearts, God comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus to us. And now we have within us a nature that will do battle with our fallen nature. And it's the nature we feed that in the end is victorious. If I feed the carnal nature, the divine nature doesn't have a chance. I have to feed the divine nature to defeat the carnal. Because the carnal doesn't die. He's still there waiting for an opportunity to manifest His presence again. We got to keep him down. Are you with me? Number 12, here is the plan of... I love this quote. This is an amazing quote. A youth instructor, Ellen White, had a burden for children, for young people. Here is the plan of salvation at a glance. Youth instructor, 1899. By the way, anybody that tells you, if they're an Adventist, that you're going to keep sinning in the second coming, you've got to show them this quote. But Christ was to bear the penalty of the transgression of the law of God, not to give men liberty to continue in sin, but to take away their inclination to sin, that they might not desire to transgress. Those who receive Christ are obedient to His commands, for His mind is given to them. He imbues them with His spirit of obedience, and they return to their loyalty. You know, anybody in this room that says, you know, I'm so bad a sinner, there's no way in the world God can save me. I have news for you. You are not a bigger sinner than God is a Savior. There ain't nobody that big a sinner. It doesn't exist. The problem isn't with God's inability to save us. It's with our refusal to believe Him. That's the problem. It's not with God, it's with us. We have to be willing. God will perfect that work in us. Testimonies, third volume, page 538. It may take time to attain perfect submission to God's will, but we can never stop short of it and be fitted for heaven. True religion will lead its possessor onto what? Now that word scares people half to death sometimes, especially Adventists, they leave skid marks. Listen, watch how perfection is defined. It's perfect what? Submission. What does that mean? It means when you know what God wants you to do at that moment, do it. Do it. That's all it means. Does that sound so frightening? No. It's just yielding. It's letting Him lead in the life. God is very reasonable. It's yielding. Desire of Ages. Look at this. This is a beautiful quote. Desire of Ages 302. If the eye is kept fixed on Christ, the work of the Spirit ceases not until the soul is conformed to His image. Brothers and sisters, what are we waiting for? We got to be praying for the Holy Spirit, and we got to spend time with Christ. It's time to stop the excuses. We're on the threshold of the end. We're going to lose our souls in church. We cannot. We're not saved by church membership. Club membership isn't going to save anybody. We have to be willing to allow God to transform us. Brothers and sisters, if I have bitterness in my heart towards anyone, that has got to be dealt with. Are you with me? I only love Jesus as much as I love the person least in my life. Let that sink in. If there's bitterness, We have got to go to God with it. Nobody in this room has suffered more injustice than Jesus Christ. And Jesus, as they were nailing Him to the cross, said, "Father, forgive them." And He will give us that forgiveness towards those who have hurt us, even if they don't come to apologize. But He will give us forgiveness, the only place to get it. You and I cannot generate that kind of forgiveness. We have to go to Him for it. But if our eyes are kept on Jesus, He will continue that work in our lives to transform Him, to transform us into His likeness. Number four, what is the need now? Zechariah 10:1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. We are in that time. We need to be praying for the Lord to pour out the early and the latter on us. We need to be spending time with Jesus. We need to surround ourselves with an atmosphere that will lift our hearts and minds up to God. Number 13, how is this revival to begin? Review and Herald, 1888. When churches are revived, it is because some... some individual seeks earnestly for the blessing of God. You ought to read one day, if you ever read about the Welsh revival, it will blow your mind. It all began with one young man praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for his nation. What would happen in this church if we began to pray for the Holy Spirit and spend time with God for a trans... What would happen if we began to deal with the stuff God has been asking us to deal with? What would happen in this church? You think it will catch fire? What would happen to this community? Friends, that's what God is waiting for. We got to stop playing church, and we got to get into the business of saving souls. I didn't hear an amen. When churches are revived, it is because some individual seeks earnestly for the blessing of God. He hungers and thirsts after God, and he goes to work in earnest, and souls are roused to seek a blessing. People will notice if you catch fire. God is waiting. I want to share with you a book, okay? I know you have your pencils out. I want to challenge you. I just started it, and I want you to get this book and read it. The book is written by Dr. Ron Clouzet. Very interesting, by the way. When Mom knows Ron, she knows us as Ronnie, which I don't think he wants to be called that. But when my mom began studying the Bible and discovered the Sabbath and came into the Adventist church, I was 8 years old, and Ron Clouzet was actually a youth in that church at that time. And later entered the ministry, and you're going to be amazed at the story. But the book is called Adventism's Greatest Need, The Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Adventism's Greatest Need. Go ahead and write it down. You're looking at me. This is not good. Susan, if we can mail this out to the church family, along with the study, because many are not here, but Adventism's Greatest Need. I picked this up at Amazon. I got it for cheap. You could probably, well, you better jump on it because the ones left aren't going to be cheap. Otherwise, get it at the ABC. But I encourage you to read that because I'll be honest with you. Why go to church here if we're not here to save souls and catch fire? Am I right? Why bother? Number 14. For this work to go forward, total surrender will be required. Volume 6, Testimonies 42 and 43. For the outpouring of the Spirit, pray and remove every hindrance to His work. I'm going to stop here. In the ensuing sermons, I'm going to be talking about some of these hindrances. And I may not be popular when I'm done. I'm going to touch on some things that you and I have got to wrestle with. We have got to be looking at if we're going to be ready for the coming of Christ. See, God's ready to pour out, but there's things blocking. I had a 51 Studebaker, and it had sat. And you know what happens to gasoline when it sits? It turns to varnish. And this stuff not only turned to varnish, it was hard. And then I had a gas tank, and so this was all in the gas tank. And so I went through, dropped the gas tank, cleaned it out, replaced all the fuel lines, hooked everything back up, started the engine, and I couldn't get it to start. It wouldn't fire. I couldn't get fuel to the motor. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And I began a search. I went through every inch of that line to find out what was blocking it. Because I couldn't get that motor started. I went all the way back into the gas tank, and I still couldn't find it. Then I discovered there was, in the gas tank, a line that I hadn't seen when I looked, it was plugged. When I cleaned that out, the fuel flowed, and the engine fired. Are we listening? He who has an ear, let him hear. God is ready. The fuel's in the tank. The engine is ready to go. But there's something blocking the line. And we're going to be talking about some of these things. And if we're in prayer, God will reveal to us some of these things. And so I know you're going to be praying for the pastor, right? Amen. I'm praying for you. Okay, where am I here? Okay, remove the hindrance of the working. The Spirit can never be poured out while variance and bitterness towards one another are cherished by members of the church. I talked about that, didn't I? We have to resolve that in our own hearts. Even if the other people don't respond, I must. Evil surmising and evil speaking, that means talking bad of other people, even if it's true, it's called gossip. If it's false, it's called slander. Evil surmising and evil speaking are of Satan, and they effectually bar the way against the Holy Spirit's working. Before the prophecy can be fulfilled, the children of God must put away suspicion. Heart must beat in unison with heart. The words are ringing in my ears. Draw together, draw together. The solemn sacred truth for this time is to unify the people of God. The desire for preeminence must die. In other words, it has to be done my way. No, it doesn't. It has to be done God's way. Amen. One subject of emulation must swallow up all others. Who will most nearly resemble Christ in character? The Lord, what's the next word? Longs to pour out His Holy Spirit in rich measure, and He bids us clear the way by self-renunciation. 15. This is our last page. Become active laborers in Christ. Service is part of the program. Testimonies to Ministers 508. Watch this. Don't miss this. The convocations of the church, in other words, gatherings, as in camp meeting, as in assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunity for giving the early and the latter rain. I just read the answer. If I want the early and latter rain, I've got to be involved in the Word and in reaching souls for Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That is absolutely critical. We have little glow tracks. As you walk out, get some. Drop them off at school, at home. If you have a workplace and it's your business, put up some little pamphlets or flyers so customers can come by and can find salvation at your workplace, and God will bless your workplace. Signs of the times. Maybe you want to subscribe some people, neighbors, to it, or family members. Adventist World Radio, send some money to ministries that are working. Amazing Facts. I especially love Adventist World Radio because they're targeting the unreached areas. In Asia, there's a window, they call it the 1040 window, where over 2 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus. Some of you who are at Faith Camp saw the interviews when they went into these large cities and they walked up to people with a microphone and they said, "Have you ever heard of the word Christian?" And people go, "There's a word Jesus. Have you heard of Jesus?" Person after person after person after person after person. 2 billion of them. And so I like sending my money to Adventist World Radio because those people have radio and they're getting the message. But anyway, in our workplace, and we need to be praying for the God to help us witness, because if you're like me, you're kind of shy. You're kind of embarrassed at what people will think. But the Holy Spirit will change that. I want to share with you the story. It's an amazing story. And the story took place, how many of you heard of Dwight L. Moody? Dwight L. Moody was preaching a sermon, and when he was done with his sermon, he was standing out the door like the strange ritual all Christian churches have, shaking people's hands as they walk out. And he noticed some people in the front were praying, and he wanted to hurry up and get the people out because he wanted to go in and pray with those people. So he was like, yeah, that's great, let's go. And when they were finally all gone, he went in, and when he got to the people in the front who had been praying, they were finished, they were standing up, and he came to him and he said, it just makes this pastor's heart feel with joy to see his members praying. I am so thankful. And they said, what were you praying for? And they said, Pastor, we were praying for you. And he said, I'm so glad. I'm thankful. What are you praying for? And they said, we were praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit because you're void. And he just stood there frozen. So he made an appointment with those people that once a week they would meet in his office for the sole purpose of him receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? He goes on in his diary and he says, the sermons that I preached and when I made an appeal and only 3 or 4 would come forward, now 30 or 40 were coming. And it was the same sermon and the same speaker. What we are missing is the Holy Spirit. So when we witness at work or wherever else, before you open your mouth, bow your head and say, Lord, give me what this person needs now. 16, if I yield to the work of the early rain, will I have to worry about the latter rain? We need not worry about the latter rain. All we have to do is keep the vessel clean and right side up. Prepare for the reception of the heavenly rain and keep praying. Let the latter rain come into my vessel. Let the light of the glorious angel, which unites with the third angel, shine upon me. Give me a part in the work. Let me sound the proclamation. Let me be a co-laborer with Jesus. Thus asking God, let me tell you, He is fitting you up all the time, giving you His grace. Number 17, sadly, not all will receive the early rain nor the latter. Now, I shared with that quote early on, right? Connect that early, the first quote, with this. First, Volume 1, Testimony 6:19. I was shown that if God's people make no efforts on their part, but wait for the refreshing to come upon them and remove their wrongs and correct their errors, if they depend on that to cleanse them from the filthiness of flesh and spirit and fit them to engage in the loud cry of the third angel, they will be found wanting. The refreshing or power of God comes only on those who have prepared themselves for it by doing the work which God bids them, namely, cleansing themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Does that make sense? Review and Herald, 1897. Many have in a great measure failed to receive the former rain, that's the early rain. They have not obtained all the benefits that God has provided for them. They expect the lack will be supplied by the latter rain, when the richest abundance of grace will be bestowed. They intend to open their hearts to receive it. They are making a terrible mistake. The work that God has begun in the human heart in giving His light and knowledge must be continually going forward. Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It is by the confessing and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of ourselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in greater degree. I find that interesting. Gordon, isn't that interesting? As important as it was at Pentecost, the need is greater now. I find that interesting. Only in greater degree must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work. He will finish His work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. But there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former rain. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. It gets worse. Look at the next quote. Review and Herald, 1890. There is to be in the churches a wonderful manifestation of the power of God, but it will not move upon those who have not humbled themselves before the Lord and opened the door of the heart by confession and repentance. In a manifestation of that power which lightens the earth with the glory of God, they will see only something which in their blindness they think dangerous, something which will arouse their fears, and they will brace themselves to resist it. Because why? Because the Lord does not work according to their ideas and expectations. They will oppose the work. The day is coming, brothers and sisters, when Adventists are going to war against the working of the latter rain. I don't want to be one. I don't want to be. Brothers and sisters, this must not happen to us. We must pray for and yield to the Holy Spirit. The question is, what are we waiting for? The end is upon us, brothers and sisters. It's now time to do what we know we should have been doing all along. That's yield to God. Spend time with Him. Confess what we know is going on in our lives that isn't right and give Him permission to correct it and keep beholding Jesus so that He can change us. We need to do this because time is running out. May God add His blessings to what was heard here today. Let's pray. Father, oh God, I can't help but think of the people in Noah's day. When the door to the ark closed, it was a normal day. The sun shone, the birds sang, the flowers were blooming. No one realized that the probation for the antediluvian world had closed. It seemed like a normal day. Father, Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Father, unlike Noah's day, we are seeing the signs of Your soon coming. Lord, help us. You placed us as sentinels on the wall to sound the alarm, to send the message to all the world to announce Your soon coming. Oh, Father, let us not get caught up in the things of life and like the antediluvians, realize too late that the door had closed. God, help us to wake up to the time that there are people on us that are counting on us to share this message with them. Thank You for Your goodness. And then, Lord, help us to remember we can't do any of this without You. We need to go to You in prayer. We need to go to You for instruction, for direction, for courage, for understanding, for just the right words. We're dependent upon You for everything. Help us to remember, Lord, You're not interested in what we can do for You, but in what You can do through us. Thank You for this, Father. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.